नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Find a verse. Yeah. Is it not
medicine?
It is 5:13:24 Yes. Now this verse is written in prosa. There's no meter for chanting it. I will just read the verse and then we go straight to the word by word meaning. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itivam Uttaramata Savai Brahma Shisuta Sindhupataya Atma Satatvam Viganayata Paranu Bhava Parama Karunikatayo Padishya Rahuganina Sakarunam Abhivandita Charana Apunanava Iva Nibritya Karano Miyashayo Dharanim Imam Vichachara Shishuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Iti evam, in this way, Uttaramattaha, O Maharaj Parikshit, son of Mother Uttara, Saha, that Brahmana, Vai, indeed, Brahmarishi Suttaha, Jada Bharata, the son of a highly educated Brahmana, Sindhu Pattaye, and to the king of the province of Sindhu, Atma Sat Tattvam, the actual constitutional position of the soul, Viganayataha, although in insulting Jada Bharata, Para Anubhava, who was very exalted in spiritual realization. Parama Karuni Kataya, by his quality of being very kind to the fallen souls. Upadishya, instructing. Rahuganena, by King Rahugana, Sakkarunam. Oh, how to pronounce this? Piteously? Piteously? Piteously. Piteously. Huh? Piteously, right? Piteously. You have to repeat piteously. Jai. Abhivandita Sharanaha, whose lotus feet were worshipped. Apurna Anavaha Eva, like the full ocean. Nibritta, completely silenced. Karana, of the senses. Urami, the waves. Ashayaha, possessing a heart in which. Dharanim, the earth. Imam, this. Vichachara, continued to roam. Translation. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, O son of Mother Uttara, there were some waves of dissatisfaction in the mind of Jatabharata due to his being insulted by King Rahugana, who made him carry his palanquin. But Jatabharata neglected this, and his heart again became calm and quiet like an ocean. Although King Rahugana had insulted him, he was a great Paramahamsa. Being a Vaishnava, he was naturally very kind-hearted, and he therefore told the king about the constitutional position of the soul. He then forgot the insult because King Rahugana pitifully begged pardon at his lotus feet. After this, he began to wander all over the earth just as before. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.21, Kapila Deva described the symptoms of great personalities. Titikshava Karunika Surita Sarvadehinam. A saintly devotee is certainly very tolerant. He is the friend of all living entities, and he does not create enemies within the world. A pure devotee has all the qualities of a sadhu. Jatabharata is an example of this. Due to the material body, his senses were certainly agitated when he was insulted by King Rahugana. But later, due to the king's humble submission, Jatabharata excused him. It is the duty of everyone desiring to return to Godhead to become submissive like King Rahugana and beg pardon of Vaishnavas one may have offended. Vaishnavas are generally very kind-hearted. Therefore, if one immediately submits himself at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, one is immediately cleared of offensive reactions. If one does not do so, the reactions will remain and the results will not be very palatable. One more time the translation. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, O son of Mother Uttara, there were some waves of dissatisfaction in the mind of Jatabharata due to his being insulted by King Rahugana, who made him carry his palanquin. But Jatabharata neglected this, and his heart again became calm and quiet like an ocean. Although King Rahugana had insulted him, he was a great Paramahamsa. Being a Vaishnava, he was naturally very kind-hearted, and he therefore told the king about the constitutional position of the soul. He then forgot the insult because King Rahugana pitifully begged pardon at his lotus feet. After this, he began to wander all over the earth just as before. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Shreshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharire Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashadyade Satanini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada is quoting in the purport one verse wherein the symptoms of a sadhu are being described. That is, sadhu, he is a very tolerant, he is very merciful, and he is, what's the word, he's very friendly, friendly to all the living entities. Not only human beings, sarvadehinam, sarvadehinam, dehi, those who embody, those living entities who have a body, all living entities, even animals, insects, creepers. Sadhu is always kind. Like Shivananda Sen, this is one example, he gave liberation even to a dog. There are many examples like this. The sadhu, he does not have any enemies. He is very peaceful, peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. So these are the symptoms of a sadhu. Sadhu means a devotee of Krishna. These are the symptoms of a devotee. He's not satisfied with only with his own liberation, but he's always feeling for other living entities. That is his mercy, Karunika. That is his mercy. He goes begging from door to door, my dear sir, or my dear lady, now why you are wasting your precious human form of life? After millions and billions of years, you have received this rare gift of this human form. Now why you are wasting your time like this? But unfortunately, most of the time, people are not, they're not ready to receive transcendental knowledge. They have no taste for it. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the preacher in Krishna consciousness, sometimes he has to undergo so many difficulties, tribulations, sometimes even suffering, so much suffering, to give Krishna consciousness to others. And although he has no enemies, he is not inimical toward anyone, but the world is so ungrateful, that lecture Srila Prabhupada, the world is so ungrateful that even a sadhu has many enemies. He has no enemies, but unfortunately others, they think that a sadhu is his or their enemy. That's the problem. He has no enemies, but others think that sadhu is an enemy. Very ungrateful. Srila Prabhupada sometimes referred to Jesus Christ, Haridas Thakur, or even Nityananda Prabhu himself. He was violently attacked. So ungrateful. But still, or in modern times, we also have many examples of devotees spreading Krishna consciousness in so many different ways and countries, places, everywhere. Sometimes they also have to suffer. Like in Russia, the devotees, so much suffering they had to undergo in Africa and in Serbia, many, many different countries. The devotees had to suffer so much. What is their fault? What do they do wrong? They just want to benefit people with Krishna consciousness. There's nothing more beneficial. They give it freely. Here, take some prasad, chant Hare Krishna, take this book, just give whatever you can. Usually people, anyway, they're very, very, very tolerant. They're so, despite having to undergo so many different types of suffering, but they continue. That means tolerance. They're so tolerant. They just go on, go on, go on, go on. Continue. They don't give up. That's tolerance. There's in one class I just recently listened to, Srila Prabhupada quoted, he sometimes quoted that verse from Prabodhananda Saraswati. Very nice verse. It is described that attitude, the mood of a preacher. He's describing in that verse. Dante means teeth. Dante need higher. I place, I put between my teeth a blade of grass. It is described. Trinakam. Trinakam means a blade of grass. And then the padayo nipatya, I fall at your feet. And Kritva chakaku shatam. Shatam means hundreds of times. Hundred of times I'm appealing. Appealing, begging. Hey Sarava. Hey Sarava sakalam eva vihaya durat. Hey Sadhu. In that class Srila Prabhupada mentioned that is flattering. Hey Sarava, hey Sadhu. He knows he's the rascal number one, but hey Sadhu. You are so intelligent, you are so educated, you have so many good qualities, everything is at your command. This is flattering. In that particular class, Srila Prabhupada was laughing, just like beggars. They also flatter. They look at the palms of your hand, and then they tell you, oh, you will become a king. Prabhupada was laughing. You will become a king. Oh, I will become a king. Interesting. Okay, here, take some paisa. Flattering. But similarly, a preacher, a sadhu, he is also, sometimes he's flattering. Because naturally people, then they're more inclined. Oh, you speak such nice words about me. All right, what do you want? Although he knows all these material acquisitions, material accomplishments, all these titles, there's a combination of letters, academic titles, PhD, doctor of philosophy. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of zeros. Anything disconnected from Krishna, without Krishna consciousness, is just like a zero, it has no meaning. What's the value of just adding zeros? The equation will be just a big zero. That's material life. So a sadhu, he knows. He's flattering, but at the same time he knows. So what is your PhD? But what will it do at the time of death? This letter combination. What's the use? If we don't surrender to Krishna, it factually has no meaning. And then this PhD, I just read recently on the internet some article. It was really funny. And but we can use it in Krishna's service. Without surrendering to Krishna, then the PhD might return or turn into a permanent head damage. It was mentioned in this article. I thought it was funny. Permanent head damage. Or pathetic homeless dreamer. This must be the result if we don't surrender to Krishna. It will have no meaning. But of course, if engaged in Krishna service, if we put that one in front of all these letter combinations, then it becomes very valuable. We can, of course, we can engage everything in Krishna service. But if we don't do it, instead we just become arrogant, proud, thinking now I know better than Guru, previous acharyas, then it becomes useless. It has no meaning. So then Prabodhananda Sarasvati continues, he's being flattered now, my dear sir, you're so educated, all right, then why you are flattering me, you speak such nice words, now what is your intention, please tell me. And then yes, hey Sarava Sakala, Sakalam, Sakalam Eva Vihaya Durat. Now whatever you have learned, now kindly just forget about it. Let's put it to the side. Oh, this is a very, very tall order. Not very easy to just forget. I learned so many things. I studied so many years. I read so many books. You're telling me just forget everything. Well, sometimes they even argue for the sake of argument that, but what about if your Krishna going back home, back to Godhead, your Vaikuntha, if this is also just another illusion? And one time Srila Prabhupada, he answered to this particular point, but at least, then our reply will be, just for argument's sake, at least our illusion is better than your illusion. Prabhupada replied, if everything is illusion, all right. But at least our illusion is so much better. We have Vaikuntha, no birth, no suffering, no death, very nice illusion. So at least our illusion is better than yours. And of course, Krishna consciousness is not illusion. It's the ultimate reality, eternal reality. But that, unfortunately, people don't know. So, hey, Sadhava Sakala, Meva Vihaya. All right, now I give up everything, and then what's your alternative? What shall I do? What is your proposal? And then the final answer is Gauranga Chandra Charane Kurutan Uragam. Let's simply try to hear what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to say. Take this into consideration, and then begin to cultivate your surrender to the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It's such a nice verse. Srila Prabhupada sometimes quoted that verse to demonstrate what the mood and attitude of a preacher should be. That humbleness, tolerant, very determined, as described in this verse, the Dikshava Karunika. Otherwise, the preaching may be very, very difficult. So many obstacles are there. But if a devotee is humble, he is tolerant, he is determined, then he can continue, then he can go on. So the sadhu is the most compassionate person toward all living entities. That's the whole purpose. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of a physician. A physician also has to be very tolerant. Often the patient cannot appreciate the treatment of the physician, especially dentist. Nobody appreciates the treatment of a dentist. But rather everybody, I think, in his mind is just cursing uttering one curse after another. And what is he doing? Why is he doing? Why does he continue? Why doesn't he stop? And then finally he stops. But all he is doing, he's just changing the small drill to a bigger one. And then he continues. I went once to a dentist, and there was another chair, another patient sitting being treated. And for that patient, it was so painful that he actually slapped, some kind of reflex. He slapped the dentist in the face. So the dentist, he has to be very tolerant. He cannot just think, oh, this is what you want, and then just push the drill down his throat with a water in a pipe. This is what you want. He cannot be like this. Otherwise, how can he treat him? Or children sometimes, the parents, mother, the children, they're, often quite obnoxious. The kicking with their boots against the leg of mother. Again, mother cannot react equally, all right, and then a kick with her heels, the small tender legs of the child. You cannot do this, or even do more nasty things. The mother has to be very tolerant. Okay, what can be done? Always thinking about the welfare of the child, nothing else. There's no other consideration. And similarly, a sadhu, he has to be tolerant like that. Despite all kinds of obstacles, just go on, continue. Therefore, sadhu is being described as calm and peaceful. Because sometimes he might get angry in order to protect Lord Krishna's reputation, the Vaishnavas, etc. But otherwise, he's always very, very calm, very peacefully, following the rules, regulations. That's the nature of a sadhu. So he possesses all the good qualities, it is described in one verse, of the demigods. What is that verse? Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinshana savaya gunaistata samasti suraha harava bhaktasya bhutho mahadguna manuradina siddhi davadubahi. All the good qualities of the demigods, whereas the non-devotee, he cannot possess good qualities because manurata is always traveling on a chariot of his mind. Therefore, he is always prone to be allured by the external energy of the Lord. How can he have good qualities? So only devotee, he possesses all good qualities, the sadhu. The nature and characteristics of the sadhu, as described in this verse, are based not on the sentimental feelings, but on factual spiritual realization. So this brings me to another point. Science. Krishna consciousness, it is not just a mere sentiment, religious type of feeling. It is a spiritual science. I can give one quotation from Srila Prabhupada. So this Krishna consciousness is a great science, meant for all human beings, not for one religion or another religion, like science, mathematics. It is meant for everyone. It is a spiritual science. Everyone should take advantage of it. Otherwise, what was the use of my coming? I have not come here to preach another religion. You already have your religion. So what is the use of replacing your religion with another one? We have no such distinctions. We are after making the human being perfect in knowledge. That is our aim. So Lord Krishna is an objective fact, not someone's imagination. We can scientifically prove Of course, it is a spiritual science, but it is a science. We can just go very quickly through some which I consider to be very, very important, very inspiring points related to how Krishna consciousness is a science. It is explained that Krishna, the general misconception people have about God or Krishna is that he is something like an anthropomorphic projection, or he's like a psychological or emotional support of those who cannot cope with the problems of life, who need this kind of psychological crutch, because they cannot, they are not capable of facing the facts of life. It's a general misconception. So this unfortunate misconception prevents people from properly understanding that God or Lord Krishna is, he simply is, an objective fact. To say that something objectively exists means that it has its own independent existence, and it is not someone's imagination. So how can we prove that Lord Krishna is not someone's imagination, but he factually and objectively exists? Generally, of course, for common people, proof means to see. To see means to believe, that's what they say. If I can see it, then I can believe in it. But we believe in so many things we cannot see. We can give simple examples of you read in a newspaper that somewhere on this planet is an earthquake. You believe it, although you didn't see yourself personally. Neither do you have the time to fly over there to the particular country to see that earth. You believe it, you have trust in the newspaper. On the radio, you might hear some other news. You just believe it. You take it as a fact, although you personally have not experienced it. Or we can give another example of our own death. We believe it I have to die, but I did not experience my own death. By extrapolation, we can conclude, because so many people died in the past, presently, so many people are dying, therefore I conclude that I also have to die. Although I did not yet experience my own death, still I take it as a fact. Or we can give the example of an atom. Another nice example. Nobody has seen, you cannot see the atom. Even with an electron microscope, you cannot see the atom. It is too small. But still, school high, everybody accepts atom exists, although we have not seen it. Even if you demand the proof, no, I want to be very scientific now. You have to prove to me in a scientific way that the atom exists. So all they do is, scientists, they just give you a computer printout of very, very complicated equations and figures and symbols. You have no idea what it means. Still you don't understand. You don't have a direct proof that the atom exists. Why? Because you're not trained. You're not trained how to interpret the data which proves the existence of the atom. We are not trained in it. It is a very, very nice point. And similarly, if we want to have the proof that Krishna truly exists, we have to undergo a scientific process. We have to enroll in a study, serious study work, textbooks which are recommended by those who are expert in the field. You have to study very carefully under certain conditions. It's another point. Just like an atom, you can only study under certain conditions. Our consciousness, our mind also has to be under certain conditions so that we can begin to properly understand the science of Krishna consciousness, the science of the soul and the science of the super soul and their relationship. And then under the given circumstances, at one point, yes, just like any other science, then we will experience that yes, Krishna exists. And this is not only the realization of one, two, or just a few. As Krishna also mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, so many in the past, they have the same realization, same understanding, that yes, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He exists. In one lecture, I remember Srila Prabhupada mentioned that in our tradition, our line, we have so many stalwart scholars. Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Srila Bhakti Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. They were all scholars. And Prabhupada mentioned, are they all fools? That they all accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship Him? Does it mean they're all fools? Such great learned personalities? No. Because everybody underwent the same process, as predictable as any other science. Of course, Krishna is a person, that makes it a little bit different. It is a more difficult science, because we are not dealing with some material object of study, but with a person, personality. And Krishna, he is Swarat, he is always independent, he can act in any way he likes, but still it is a science. If the student studies Krishna consciousness properly, he will make progress, gradual progress, step by step by step by step. So in that sense, it is a science. So Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. Another class Srila Prabhupada mentioned, like Srimad Bhagavatam, such an exalted literature. There's no competition. Nothing comes equal to it. You cannot compare with anything else. Just like in business world, I think that's a dream of any businessman to find that particular hole or gap in the market. Something which nobody produced before. Isn't it? They think meditating. Let me produce something which doesn't exist. Then I will have that's the hole in the market. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. It's a free market, no competition. Let us go for it. Let us take advantage. It's a free market. That's the hole in the market. There's nothing like Srimad Bhagavatam. Such an elevated literature. So many details, you don't find this in any other spiritual, religious, philosophical, whatever scripture. We cannot find such details. Just like the other day, I was reading again the four additional qualities Lord Krishna possesses. Lord Brahma, he possesses how many? 50? 50? No, Lord Brahma, 50. Lord Brahma possesses 50 qualities. The living entities, they possess only part of those qualities. And then the Lord Shiva possesses 55 qualities, additional, 5 additional. Then Narayana, 60 qualities. And Lord Krishna, 64 qualities. Where do we have such detailed knowledge? What are these four additional qualities? Madhuri, they are very, very sweet. Lila Madhuri. Lord Krishna's pastimes are so sweet. And what is the second? The association, his eternal associates, like the gopis. He's always surrounded by his eternal associates with whom he has such wonderful exchanges in his transcendental pastimes. Let me just find. Yes, prema prayadikya. That's a Sanskrit term. And then Rupa Madhuri, Lord Krishna's transcendental form, his transcendental beauty. We cannot find in any incarnation of the Lord. Because this makes Krishna Akashayati, Akashayati Iti Krishna. This makes Krishna all attractive. His transcendental beauty, his transcendental form, Rupa Madhuri. And then finally, Venu Madhuri, playing on his transcendental flute. We don't find this anywhere. And I was thinking, the same four additional qualities we also find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because his transcendental pastimes are so unique. And he's also surrounded by so many wonderful associates with whom he has such wonderful exchanges, transcendental exchanges. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form, it is beyond comparison. His golden, beautiful form in so many places being described, again, all attractive. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that sense is not playing on his flute, but he's always chanting the Maha Mantra and the Midanga is being played. So in that sense, what's the difference? The transcendental sound vibration is there. So this is the science of Krishna consciousness. And despite anyone's religious or cultural background, everybody can benefit from the science of Krishna consciousness. Just like any other science, mathematics, or what is the other, arithmetics. Anyway, different sciences are there. These they're universal. Whether you're Indian, you're American, German, Russian, whatever, you can benefit. Mathematics is a universal science. Everybody can benefit. But similarly, this is our proposal or even challenge to the entire world that this Krishna consciousness is a spiritual science. Everybody can benefit from it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or question?
Thank you, Maharaj. That was very enlightening, very nice. I especially appreciated the fact that Krishna consciousness is the greatest science, but it also can, it's beyond religion. It's like a culture of knowledge, but perfect knowledge coming from perfect sources. It's not man-made, it's God-given, and it's greater than any other religious scope or culture. Therefore, you don't even have to change your religion. You can just take advantage of this divine gift of full, perfect knowledge. And that should be our approach, that we're not trying to convert people to a given religion, but yes. We're offering the greatest knowledge, the greatest...
That's a very, very important point. Yeah. The religious people generally, they're afraid to be converted. They don't want to be converted, they want to protect their religious faith. It's natural. So it's a very good point, that we are not attempting to convert anyone. We just want to add. God is great, fine, but how great? If you're interested, how great? Here, take advantage, that's the knowledge. Get some more detailed information. What is the harm? Like Srila Prabhupada would often give the example of a small dictionary and a big one. In essence, there's no difference. It's just a question of more or less information. That's all. Not different information. A big dictionary does not mean now I will get some different information. No. Just more detailed. So that's Krishna consciousness. Just get more detailed knowledge about your object of worship, your object of faith. Just benefit, get more detailed knowledge, which will increase your faith and devotion.
Yes. And the other point is that the knowledge can also give you access to direct experience on your very self, and that's where it becomes a science, because your consciousness is the field of experiment.
You know? Yes, it is not just a process of information.
Yes.
It's a process of transformation. That's the unique feature of this science. It transforms you. And in the academic field, usually, you know, you just have to be good at memorizing data. That's all you have to do, and then you pass all your exams. If you memorize all the, generally, that's the process. That doesn't work in a spiritual science. Just to memorize will not work. It's literally a power, but once he mentioned, the better than memorizing all the shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita is to understand one. Understand one, the real meaning of one word, that is better than just memorizing, but not really understanding and realizing the contents of these Bhagavad Gita shlokas. That can only develop if transformation takes place in the heart and in consciousness. Yeah. So I don't want to take much more of your time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.